Thanks so much, everyone, for coming to this session. We have an absolute legend with us. We have Elsie Campos-Gomez, who is the founder of the UK Black Pharmacists Association. And today she's going to be interviewed by C&D's very own Nana Ofori-Atta, who is our clinical and custom content editor, which, believe you me, is not a title that exactly rolls off the tongue. I'm quite proud of myself. I think it's going to be a brilliant discussion today. Diversity and inclusion is something I think matters to us all, but especially in pharmacy, which is such a diverse profession, and I'm really, really excited to hear what Elsie has to say. What an inspirational person. If you don't know Elsie, I highly recommend that you introduce yourself to her afterwards, because she is just awe-inspiring and brilliant. So without any further ado, I'd like to hand over to Nana and Elsie.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Beth, and thank you guys for turning up. And a big thank you, Elsie, for making it. I know it wasn't easy getting down, but thank you for taking the time to come speak to us. So we will really start off the questions. One of the big questions that I really want to know is, how did Elsie get here? So if you just take us a quick journey through your pharmacy career, I think that'd be great.
Thank you for having me, and thank you everyone for being here. It has not been easy to get here. Believe me, Houston closed down, and we have been sitting in a train since 10:30 in the morning. So how Elsie got here? So I am an overseas pharmacist. I qualify as a pharmacist in Cuba over 20 years ago, and I emigrated to the UK, and I've worked as a pharmacist technician for about 5 to 6 years to raise money to then go to Sunderland, where I did my a one-year course to convert my course from Cuba into the one in the UK, did my pre-registration bit, and then I started working as a pharmacist. You know, I have always been very keen in developing myself, so the usual, the certificate, the diploma, then the master. I even tried to do a doctorate, but then life got on the way, and that stopped, and I just slowly went up the career ladder from, you know, band 6 to band AC. Once I became a band AC and deputy chief pharmacist, I was in the department where that things were happening the way that should not be happening in our profession. And I raised formal concerns, and that pretty much ended my career as a hospital pharmacist, because what came afterwards was just a roller coaster. And because of the issues that I faced through that journey, I felt I was so lonely, and I started speaking to someone. I wrote a blog from the pharmaceutical journal about the gap, you know, the gap that we see with black pharmacists, the attainment gap. And I wrote a blog, and that blog was very well received, and people started sending me comments. And I spoke to someone that is here today. And we started talking online, and said, this journey has been so lonely. Let's put something together. And the UK Black Pharmacy Association came to be formed. And that is how I got here,
Elsie
pretty
got
much.
Here. Yes. Thank you very much. So like you said, you're the founder of the UK Black Pharmacist. It's an organization that I'm a member of myself. And like you said, because you guys did that, it saved people like me coming up a lot of stress, because we didn't have to do it alone. Like, I became a pharmacist, and there was already an association of other black pharmacists that I could join. The question I wanted to ask following that is, since finding the organization, how do you think the impact of it has been in the world of pharmacy so far?
I believe it has a big impact, and it has been a positive impact. The reason that I say that is because before we were not together, people were trying to navigate all of these different challenges alone, by writing blogs, by getting into, you know, meetings like these ones, by responding to things that the PDA have done, that the General Pharmaceutical Council have done. We have been getting there, and our voices have been heard. I don't know if you know that last year we had the first round table by the General Pharmaceutical Council trying to address racism in pharmacy. That was because of the UK BPA. And we just last week had the second round table, and that is because of the UK BPA. So by advocating to make sure that everyone is included, that we address something that has been affecting the profession for many, many years, but no one is speaking about it, or we are very careful about speaking about it. Nothing actually has happened so far. So I think the impact has been big. We now, as a profession, we are recognizing that there is a problem. For many, I think for more than a year, I have been asking for the pharmacy rest. Where is the pharmacy rest? Why we are not having a pharmacy rest? We have the medical rest. We are not having a pharmacy one. We have got now a pharmacy rest. So by everyone coming together and asking for change, I think change is actually happening now. So I think the impact has been big and has been quite, I think everyone can feel it now.
That's good. But what do you see in the future of the organization and in the future of pharmacy? How do you think diversity is really going to change the conversations?
My hope is that in the future we are not going to have a need for an organization such as the UK Black Pharmacy Association, because everyone will be recognized. There was a need for this organization to say, we have got talent that doesn't look like the leaders in our organization. And that is why we needed the UK Black Pharmacy Association. But my hope is that in a few years' time, not far away, you know, everyone will be included, everyone will be recognized for what they bring to the profession. And therefore, hopefully the UK Black Pharmacy Association will be another network for pharmacists, but not to address the issues that we have to address at the moment.
That is so beautifully said, really. I love the fact that you said in the future there will be a space where everyone is identified and everyone's recognized. When we speak to increasing diversity within the sector, increasing diversity within the workforce, what kind of positive impact do you think that brings? Why should we? What's the need of doing that?
Look, diversity is, and I like when you put the title of the talk, diversity of experience.
Yeah.
Because it's not just diversity, ethnic diversity, but it's about diversity, what everyone can bring. And I am talking about what people from different religions can bring to the profession, what people from different sex and gender can bring to the profession, people from different ethnicity, people from different backgrounds in terms of work experience. You know, what a mother can bring to the profession, what a young pharmacist can bring to the profession. So it's about the more diverse your organization is, the better. There are plenty of studies that show that you get more productivity, you are more innovative, because imagine that mix of people, what they are going to bring, the different point of view that they are going to bring to the profession. So diversity in all sense. Imagine, you know, for the last few weeks I have been a little bit disabled, and I am looking at the way, like, oh my God, this is what disabled people going through.
Yeah.
But I couldn't relate to that, you know. It's not the same experience as living it.
Yeah.
So bringing people that have got lived experience, different lived experience, will make the profession not just more inclusive, but it will make the profession more innovative, because we will be able to recognize what is we are missing.
Okay.
If you don't know what we are missing, you don't know. Does that make sense? You don't know that gap.
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. So it's the fact that bringing all of those people together, we will be able to be more aware of everything that is happening across the whole sector, and then we will be able to accommodate everyone according to the needs.
Now, there's something that we usually find, like being a diverse person, that when you enter a space, not feeling comfortable in sharing your experience when it comes to the situation, what piece of advice would you give people that are in a situation where they don't think their experience is necessarily relevant to what's going on?
It takes courage to speak up. It takes courage to say, I am here. It takes courage to say, you are not seeing me, because that is what often happens. People don't see you. So it's about not just the people, but it's about the people that are surrounding you. So my advice is not to that person. I mean, it takes courage. Some people have it. Some people don't feel that they will be able to do it. It's about the bystanders. We need to be active bystander, not passive. He has to be able to recognize that someone may need your help, someone may need to be heard. So, and that is something that I think we need to do better at that. People think that it's not my problem. It's not my problem, but it's everyone's problem, because you never know when you are going to be
the person that needs it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's perfectly answered. What advice would you give? Like, what kind of things do you think organizations and people in those positions should be looking out for in order to increase diversity in their teams?
And this is extremely important, because I think the organizations need to take the lead. You understand? Because we are talking about institutions. We are talking about changing the culture within our profession. We are talking about doing things that we may not be very comfortable about. We are talking about, for instance, the recruitment process. How can we make sure that it's more open to, you know, to diversity? And what they need to recognize is that by making the profession more inclusive, more diverse, they are going to retain people, because people will leave. If people don't feel appreciated, people will leave.
Yeah.
People will decide to take different paths. So the advice would be more proactive in trying to make that recruitment process, start from the recruitment process, and then it continues about recognizing what people bring to the profession. People that don't feel they are valued, they also will leave. And also it's about trying to be as innovative as possible. My main concern about pharmacy is that we're always following guidelines, and we are not very proactive in making our own path. But I am happy, because on the pharmacy shop we have got many small and medium enterprises, so I think people are looking, you know, looking out of what is the norm. So that is good. SMEs, pharmacies-based SMEs may take over. So it's about how fast are we going to do it.
Yeah. So in your, and I always like saying this because it doesn't exist, in your ideal world, what would you want, what would be the one thing that you would want to change in order for us to achieve our goals?
Okay, I was not prepared for that, because an ideal world, that is a big, yes. For me, it will be the ideal world is what I wanted for me when I came into this profession. You know, what is the norm? You study, you work hard, you are recognized, and you move up. Because I had aspiration as a pharmacist for my family, for myself, you know. But there are so many walls that people like me and other people face for no good reason at all. So in the ideal world is to bring down all of those walls so people can reach the maximum potential. That is the most important thing. You never know what people can do if they're allowed to reach the maximum potential. So we need to bring those walls down.
Yeah. I always think everyone suffers if we don't look at people based on their ass. Perfect. Yeah. We're going to open up for some questions. So if anyone's got a few questions, feel free to ask. Like we said, Elsie is amazing. She knows everything. So if you want to ask a question, just put your hands up. We'll bring the mic over to you. Oh, it's coming.
I love, again, what you're saying about diversity of experience. It takes all kinds of diversity in the profession to really make it sing. So the conversation that we've been having about diversity and inclusion in pharmacy is an incredibly important one. It's one that needs to continue. But do you also think that we need to see some action being taken by different organisations on this as well? And if so, what kind of actions do you think would be helpful?
Look, we had the pharmacist race came out, and that is a completely different conversation. But we need to have an action plan. No strategy can come without an action plan. And we need to make this action plan to fit the different organizations. Different organizations have got different needs, so I hope that we will be able to do that. I have worked most of my career in hospital pharmacies, and you go from one hospital to another one, and the culture in different places are very different. The same within community pharmacies, GP practices. So I think the first action is for people to take notice of the information that is there, and then to make action plans that they are going to solve the problems. So that is about, for instance, you know, you can do a SWOT analysis, you can do a personal analysis, and find out what is it that you are good at, what are your, you know, your weaknesses, what are your opportunities, what are your threats, and then try to find out how you are going to address that. But that is not something that you can do for the whole profession. You have to have organization by organization, they need to look at it. And then we are going to see the change. The rest is quite generic, and there are things that they need to address by that, but every organization need to take notice. I am concerned that sometimes we put things out there and people don't take notice, they don't do anything about it, and nothing change. The PDA did a huge amount of work in the anti-racist bench, and they have got that document. Everyone can use it. How many people are using it?
Yeah.
What people are not engaging with this conversation is the worry. Yeah. So I think organizations need to take an active, and I don't know how we can't make sure that they do. I think that will have to come from our national leaders.
I think that's it exactly, isn't it? It's moving from words to actions on all of these issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello there, hi. Just wanted to ask, because I'm trying to put myself in the, to think like a black woman. Now, for instance, if you went for a job and you didn't get it, in my mind I'm thinking, are you asking yourself four questions? Is your first question, oh, is my CV not good enough? Is your second question, oh, is it because I'm a woman? Is your third question, oh, is it because I'm black? And is your fourth question, is it because I'm a black woman? I just wonder if you have any of those kind of thoughts when, for instance, you apply for a job and you don't get it.
Okay, so when I apply for a job, I apply for a job where I think I have got a huge chance of getting it. So when I don't get the job, I always ask for feedback, because I think you always can learn something new. Now, if I get the feedback, then I think about that feedback. Is that feedback a real reflection of what happened, or is that feedback an excuse for not giving me the job? If I get a feedback where, you know, you missed this, fine, excellent, I will go and get it and move on. But if they don't give you feedback, or if the feedback is just an excuse, I don't say because I was a black woman, because all of those things I knew when I went for that job, that I was a black woman. I knew the barriers that I was facing. I hardly go to an interview where I see a black woman interviewing me or a black man interviewing me. Most of my interview panels that I have faced throughout my career, they are either white or Asian. So I always know that I'm going with that. So that never stopped me from going for an interview and doing my best. Yeah. So those questions don't come to me, don't come to my mind, and I don't want to sound arrogant. I prepare myself for interviews. I have got coaching and so on. So I go prepare because I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste the time of the interviewer neither.
Yes.
So I guess if I wanted the job really badly and I did really well and I didn't get the job, I will be upset perhaps for a day or two. And then I move on. I move on into the next things, because it's a blue sea out there, you know, lots of opportunities.
I think to follow on from what the gentleman was asking, I kind of have a follow-up question. Do you think sometimes within the diverse communities, we have there's a sense of apathy where we think it's bad out there? So why bother? Because it's already bad.
That is the truth,
yeah.
And that is very unfortunate, because if you cannot try, you will never get there. That is a fact. You are not going to get there if you don't try. So yeah, it may take a few tries.
Yeah.
It may take sometimes hundreds of tries, but if you don't try, and it's that apathy that we have to overcome. But we have to help people to overcome that apathy by changing the way that we are doing. I work in the department where everyone was of the same ethnicity. there is no justification for that. You know, I have seen some pictures on Twitter, on social media, where everyone is of the same ethnicity and celebrating. I am like, why? Why is this happening? There is no reason for that. There is no justification for that nowadays. We have been talking. So we need to help people. Because it's, you cannot blame someone that says, why bother if they're always going to be doing the same thing? So we need to help people. But also people need to have the courage and go for it. Yeah. You know, I always tell people, and that is what I say now, no one can tell me a reason that, oh, I cannot find a black pharmacist. No, we have got a pool of black pharmacists. So no, that is no longer an excuse. You are just not looking hard enough. So what we need to do is to overcome that apathy and just keep trying. Me, myself, I am a bit cheeky. I was turned down for a job not long ago. I went to the organization. I said, I want to know how the ethnicity of all the applicants. They refused to give me the information. I went to the organization. They are going to give me the information now. Because there is no reason, you know, and I want to see how many BME apply for the jobs, and I want to see how many went through, you know, the second phase. Because I want to see if there is bias, you know, because there is no justification for bias now. Everyone should be very well educated.
I think there is a space of, like, from people from diverse communities, we kind of see things as, we see ourselves outside the system. So therefore, we don't see a need for us to use the system. But there are systems in place for example, when you said you go for an interview, you don't get it. You are allowed to ask for those pieces of information. But I think, do you think sometimes people from BAME and from other diverse, as soon as we don't get that job, we kind of fall back on the, well, they didn't give it to me because I'm black, or they didn't give it to me because of this, instead of following up and chasing those kind of steps?
Yeah. There is, we know that there may be some of it.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask, you are never going to know if it's because you didn't have the right skills. So if you don't know that information, how are you going to go and get it? I, as I say, I like learning, and in May, I applied for an MBA, and I thought, what are the chances of me getting a place? I got the place, I was like, how am I going to pay for it? I don't have the money. I got the place, I don't have the money. There was one scholarship. I applied for the scholarship. What are the chances of me getting it? I got myself prepared, and I got the scholarship. So now I am sitting in an MBA, a global MBA for health, improving my skills, learning new things, but that only happened because I thought, let me go for it.
Yeah.
I may get the no, but if I get the no, I am applying next year, so I want to know what I didn't have
gotta
to get it
no.
This year. But if I hadn't applied for it, it's going to, you know, and what I am doing is I am moving it forward. I am passing this information to other people that didn't have the money to get into the place, so hopefully next year, I am the only pharmacist there, by the way. The only pharmacist. There is another pharmacist from India because it's a global MBA. But next year, I want to see if there are more pharmacists getting in there because the amount of information that I am getting, it will make me a much better leader as a pharmacist and outside pharmacist.
You just keep getting more and more impressive, don't you?
No. What I am trying to say is that you have to go for it. You have to go for it. And you have to ask for that feedback so you get better. You get better at it. So, yes, there may be a bit of a, because you are black. We know it. We know. You don't tell me about it. I know. I see myself every day in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, so forget about it. That is something that I cannot go anywhere thinking about it.
Thank you very much. I think we have space for one more question. Just the lady over there.
Hi, Elsie. I just wanted to know if you had any advice for people who maybe are working for organisations that... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So maybe working for organisations that, on the surface of it, are trying to be inclusive, but actually their actions don't reflect maybe what we know should be happening. Do you have any advice for anyone who's kind of working for an organization like that?
Yeah. Action speaks volume, and authenticity as well. And everyone can see what you are doing. And that is why I get worried about organizations where they say, yes, we are going to improve our diversity, and then they put one black person in a position, but they continue doing the same of the same. People, we are not the same people that we were 5 years ago. We are changing, and I've seen people are holding organizations more and more to account. I'm definitely doing that, and I hope that many other people are doing it. So organizations that don't come along the journey that they're supposed to be coming, which is the journey where they are inclusive, where they appreciate what diversity can bring, will be left behind. They are going to be taken over, and they are going to be the... We have seen organizations questioning. You know, we had the questioning... I'm not going to mention organizations, but we have seen pharmacists question what different organizations are doing. And what is going to happen is that pharmacists will move. They will move. They may find different organizations that are going to meet the needs. So if they want to continue serving, you know, the people, the membership, they will have to change one way or another one. Because I think people are getting more and more courage, and people are asking the right questions. And I saw you last week on that round table, and the questions that you asked were so pertinent. So the GPSC have nowhere to hide. They have to come up with the thing that you ask them to do. You know, they have to reflect on that, and they will have to change their way, one way or another one. I came through, I spent about 5 hours sitting in the train next to a lady that, you know, she's full of courage because of their experience, and she's not here because she has gone somewhere else to ask some questions. She's holding people to account. So people are not holding back. People are not holding back because we know that every organization has got a legal, you know, this, we're talking about governance, we're talking about legal duty, you know, and that is quite important. And if they don't meet those legal duties, what is the point of them being here? It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Elsie, and thank you guys for spending this time with us. If you just give Elsie a big round of applause.
Thank you.
And thank you for having us.
That was such a brilliant talk. Thank you so much, Elsie. I know it was a total pain for you to get here. Really, really do appreciate it. And what an inspiration. I think we can all say that. So I think Elsie will be hanging around for a little bit. If you want to go and mob her and ask about, you know, the fount of all wisdom, then please do. And also, Nana's here too. So do feel free to have a chat to him too. He's also brilliant. Thank you so much for coming to this session. We're going to have a short break before our next one, but hopefully you'll stick around for that.